online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the trial of a man accused of the rape and murder of Danielle McLaughlin is to be heard in a new fast-track special court. Gardaí and Donegal have issued a renewed appeal for information 14 years on from the murder of Andrew Burns. The PRO of the Mica Action Group says they are questioning faith in the process. And the Taoiseach believes a deal on the Northern Ireland Brexit protocol needs to be reached before upcoming Assembly elections. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up at about 5:15 with Oisin Kelly. But first in news this evening, the trial of a man accused of the rape and murder of Danielle McLaughlin is to be heard in a new fast-track special court. The murder of the 28-year-old from Buncrana is expected to be the first case heard in the new court, which will be operational within months. The trial of Fagat Bagat, who has been charged with Danielle's murder, began more than 4 years ago and has been subject to numerous delays. Danielle's mother, Andrea Branigan, is hopeful they will have a verdict within a year of the trial coming before the special court.
Me, that hopefully it'll be heard at least maybe once, twice, maybe more often than it's been heard at the moment. At the moment it was heard there on the 8th, but it's not getting heard now again the 28th, because the court hasn't opened yet. They're hoping that it'll be opened this year sometime.
And as you mentioned there, the current pace of the judicial system in India means it could be years before the trial concludes. But this new fast-track court, will it be similar to how court is operated here? Would you get a verdict sooner?
Yes. We would hope to have a verdict within a year then, if not quicker. Because we're now going on to 5 years now, March.
And indeed, this, obviously, for yourself and the rest of the family, would bring some sense of closure as this is being dragged on and on.
It would mean a result, and hopefully I would finally get justice for Danielle.
You've called on authorities on numerous occasions this side of the Atlantic to intervene. Has there been any update on that, and are they making any progress?
I haven't heard from the Irish Embassy since the start of December, and that was just informing that they had a meeting arranged with Indian authorities and that Indian authorities had cancelled it. You feel like you're kind of stuck. I know the embassies can't do a wild lot, but I wish they would try a wee bit more to try and do what they can.
Gardaí and Donegal have issued a renewed appeal for information about the murder of Andrew Burns 14 years ago. The 27-year-old was murdered at Donnyloop Castle Finn on Tuesday, February the 12th, 2008. One person has been convicted in connection with the murder and is currently serving a life sentence, but Gardaí believe that a number of people were involved in the killing. Donald Kavanagh has more.
Shortly after 7 p.m. on Tuesday, February 12th, 2008, Andrew Burns from Strabán was driven across the border to Donnyloop Churchyard, where he received a number of gunshot wounds. He was later found on a roadway close to the church and pronounced dead shortly before 8 o'clock. Detective Inspector Pat O'Donnell says An Garda Síochána in Donegal want to directly appeal to those individuals who were on the periphery of the group involved in Andrew's murder, and in particular, their friends, family members and partners. It's been 14 years since Andrew's murder, he says, and during that time, relationships and loyalties may have changed and people may now not be constrained by the set of circumstances that existed for them in 2008. Inspector O'Donnell says Garda are appealing to those individuals to look into their conscience and unburden themselves of whatever information they may have. He thanked all the witnesses that have come forward and made statements in the intervening years, adding it's never too late for those who have yet to speak to Gardaí.
There's a question of faith in the process, according to the PRO of the Mica Action Group. It comes as it's reported that the controversial sliding scale element of the enhanced Mica redress scheme is set to be replaced by another model being proposed by the SCSI. The alternative model will cost 8 different house types. In a social media update, PRO of the Mica Action Group Michael Doherty confirmed that homeowner representatives are seeking a meeting with the SCSI after being asked to submit their own considerations. Mr. Doherty says the request from the SCSI is a bit late in the day.
The reason to bring in SCSI was to format independence, yet they've been working with SCSI for 2 months now, and only on Friday did an invitation come through there for us now as homeowners to submit what we need to think is worthy of consideration as well. We already did that back on the 10th of December, and But we will welcome this. We will work with them. We'll get our own panel together, and we hopefully meet with them now early this week, and let's talk it out. It has to be a meeting as opposed to just a submission, because there isn't the time to have questions forward and back by emails. Let's get a meeting and let's get it discussed and across the table and talk about it maturely and reasonably. And I think that's what we've been open to do all along. So we do welcome that opportunity from SCSA. We do think it's late in the day, in keeping in mind that there's meant to be a final proposal out for the 28th of February. So we've got basically, they've got 2 weeks to make that happen. We've always been ready. It's just now we've been called to the table. So we'll take it. We'll take the opportunity and we'll make the most of that. The difficulty here is that we have a lot of people now that are losing faith in the process here, which is such a shame after all the time and effort that went into it. But, you know, that has not been our doing. That has been the poor level of what should have been positive intent by the other parties here. And I will say that again, that's the housing department. So we have to really, really seriously consider where we are with the entire process. And that's just been brutally honest about it. Not what a lot of people want to hear, not what I want to be saying, but we have to take a really hard look at where we are overall.
Sinn Féin says the leaked contents of a senior official's meeting show dysfunction at the heart of the health service. A recording of the meeting obtained by the Business Post suggests fake recruitment targets were being set and serious concerns about HSC financial management. The head of the HSC, Paul Reid, has questioned the facts in the piece, but admitted the health service is likely to miss recruitment targets. Sinn Féin's health spokesperson, David Cullinan, says there are serious issues which need to be addressed.
The reality is that there was discussions about fake targets, there was discussions about financial accountability, and there are problems at the heart of the system. We don't have a single integrated financial management system 17 years into the establishment of the HSE. So, of course, the head of the HSE should be taking responsibility for all of this.
Meanwhile, a Donegal TD has expressed scepticism at the claim that shortages of qualified personnel are at the heart of understaffing in the health service, particularly in terms of covering staff who are on leave. Deputy Thomas Pringle says in many cases where leave is being taken, the HSE does not have a suitable replacement ready to take over, even if the leave has been flagged in advance, as is the case with maternity leave. Deputy Pringle says the HSE must introduce better workforce management and planning protocols.
Ongoing problems are right across the board with the HSE in terms of, a lot of it is to do in terms of people going off on maternity leave and stuff like that, where the HSE don't seem to plan for any of these eventualities at all. And it's not as if they are unknown for the HSE. For example, like you do hear of people maybe giving a notice that they're going on maternity leave, and then the HSE might start the recruitment process maybe 6 months later to actually recruit cover for them. And that's just not on, because, I mean, they know with the workforce planning that they have, that they should be able to do this a lot quicker. And I think it's a cynical way of just trying to save money that the HSE have, that they can actually save on the cost of running the service, because somebody has been off on maternity leave or something like that there. And in this day and age, we shouldn't have that situation at all.
So what you're essentially calling for is a modernisation of the way the HSE manages its workforce, and having people who can come in, maybe not even on short notice, have a few months notice to kind of come in and recruit these people to fill in these crucial community positions. This is essentially a modernisation of the service to be more organised so it can fully service the communities that it's supposed to.
Exactly. Like, I mean, there's a requirement on workers to inform the HSE if they're going off on leave or something like that. So the HSE are given notice and plenty of time. And it shouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility that they'd be actually geared up to actually cover for somebody who's gone off. And I know in some instances where a member of staff may have retired and would be available to come back if they were asked, but they're not asked. And that's just doesn't make any sense at all. The HSE in this day and age needs to be better organised and needs to make sure that they can provide the cover. The HSE has a responsibility to us, and they work for us, and they have to provide the services for us.
145 Irish citizens have now registered with Ireland's embassy in Kiev since the Department of Foreign Affairs upgraded its travel advice to the Ukraine over the weekend. It's warning against all travel to the country, and Irish people living there are being advised to leave immediately. In a statement today, the department also says it is in direct contact with all of those scheduled to travel to Ukraine for surrogacy purposes. It comes as 100,000 Russian troops have been positioned along the border with Ukraine, and there are fears an invasion could happen within days. Minister for Foreign Affairs Simon Coveney says a strong set of sanctions would have to be brought in if Russia invades.
I think it's very clear and agreed that should Russia invade Ukraine, that the response would need to be very significant, the kind of sanctions that that the EU hasn't seen in a very, very long time. And that means a significant economic impact on the EU as well as Russia.
A memorandum of understanding has been signed by Fáilte Ireland and Údaráis na Gaeltachta, which will see the two organisations work together across a number of priority areas. The newly formed strategic partnership is aimed at making the Gaeltacht experience appealing, accessible and relevant to visitors, and further enhances an already close working relationship between Fáilte Ireland and Údaráis na Gaeltachta. Dathi Gallagher is Fáilte Ireland's Wild Atlantic Way manager with responsibility for the Gaeltacht. He says both organisations bear distinct qualities that make it a positive collaboration.
We have been working so closely with Udaráis. The partnership is going to solidify that relationship in highlighting our priorities for Gaeltacht regions into the future.
The reality of it is you probably know tourism better than Udaráis does, and Udaráis knows the Gaeltacht better than you do.
Exactly. It's a match made in heaven. And like you said, it's all about really working to our strengths. Udaráis have such a keen insight into the operations of the Gaeltacht regions and have those great connections with Cork Cumann and different organisations throughout the Gaeltacht regions. And likewise, Fáilte Ireland have extensive experience and extensive expertise in tourism development.
It also makes sense on the basis that if you look at, for instance, Donegal, Udaráis will have responsibility for the area around Sliabh League, the area around West Donegal and Aramore Island, but it doesn't have a function to promote East Donegal. So when the two work together, you can make sure there is a more unified approach right across an area.
Exactly, and it's just to make sure that our approach is as comprehensive as possible, and that goes for the entire country. Udaráis does have that specific remit in the Gaeltacht region, and this way, whether it's Connemara, whether it's Kerry, whether it's Donegal or Mayo, we'll be working together to ensure that we're promoting the tourism strategy and our own tourism strategies between the two organisations in each county. And it is just to make our response for communities on the ground, for businesses on the ground, as comprehensive as possible from both organisations.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. Referee Maggie Farley will become the first woman to take charge of a senior inter-county National Football League game. The Cavan native, who is attached to the Glenfinnan club, has been put in charge of the Leitrim London Division 4 game this weekend. Farley has previously refereed senior club championship games and county matches at various levels, but never a league tie. Elsewhere, Maurice Deegan will ref the Donegal-Kerry game in Killarney, while Martin McNally will take charge of Tyrone and Kildare at Hayley Park, and Sligo's John Gilmartin will referee Derry's Division 2 game with Cork at Owen Beg. Well, Donegal's fine start to Division 2B of the National Hurling League continued on Sunday with a 2-point win over Sligo. They gained a vital victory on the road despite ending the game with 13 men. Sean McVeigh, who is a guest on the DL debate with Brendan Devaney this evening, said it was a good one.
Delighted with the victory, yeah. I mean, it was one that we knew was going to be a massive challenge, particularly when you look at Sligo and the progress they've had over the last number of years. Playing in Christy Ring the last 3 years, and just to kind of the physicality that they showed yesterday and the level of fitness that they had, and then obviously being a very well-drilled side, you know, we knew we were in for a massive challenge yesterday, and we were really kind of targeting that game to kind of have a measure of where we were at. And we're absolutely delighted with the character, I suppose, shown in the last few minutes in particular, to kind of win a few balls and come out with it and tag on the last score to kind of get away with the 2 points, which we're absolutely delighted about.
That's Sean McVeigh. There's more from him tonight on the DL debate with Brendan Devaney as a podcast on HighlandRadio.com. We'll also air it after the 7 o'clock news. Other guests tonight as well, Maureen O'Donnell on the Donegal Ladies win over Galway. Plus, we'll hear from the Kilcoo Club following their fantastic All-Ireland success at the weekend. We'll hear from assistant manager Conleth Gilligan, who will also be telling us about the vital input of Donegal's Kitty Hearn on the Kilcoo side. She, of course, does video analysis for the county downside, and she was part of that All-Ireland success at the weekend as well. On to colleges soccer. The LYT men's team are safely into the quarterfinals of the CUFL Cup after beating MTU Cork 4-1 at the AUL Complex in Dublin this afternoon. Following on from his hat-trick last week, well, Pat Lockery was the hero again today, bagging all four goals for the Letterkenny College. Lockery had his side 3-0 up at half-time. The LYIT will play Sligo IT in the last eight on Thursday. So there's a quick turnaround there, and that game will be a home tie for LYIT at the Port Road campus. Well, it certainly has been a good day for the Lockery household, because Pat's two sisters, Kerry and Jory, have been named on the Republic of Ireland under 17 side for upcoming friendlies against Switzerland. They're the only girls named on the Donegal, or the only two Donegal girls named on the Ireland squad, which was selected by James Scott ahead of those friendlies with Switzerland, which are coming up next week towards the end of the month. So certainly a day the Lockery House will not forget. Kilmacrenan Celtic won the Brian McCormick Cup Gweedore area final on Sunday, where they beat Cager Rovers 2-1 in the decider. But there may be a twist to the game yet. It's understood Cagu have lodged an appeal with the Donegal League, stating Kilmacrenan fielded an ineligible player. The Donegal League have yet to officially confirm the protest, but the player in question is understood to have already played in the competition with another club this season. One game cross-channel tonight. It's in the Championship. Blackburn can move to within 2 points of second place Bournemouth with victory over ninth place West Brom. Kick-off there at the Hawthorns is at 8 o'clock this evening. Manchester United interim boss Ralph Ragnick insists it's obvious recent results have affected his team's confidence, and they're not robots. They've let Leeds slip in the Premier League against Burnley and Southampton, leaving their top four hopes now in the balance. There's also been talk of some players being unhappy with the Germans' methods, but Ragnick's confident they can get back on track.
We have to be, well, more effective to score a second and a third goal and just kill the game off. This is number one, and I think we had enough, we create enough chances to do that. But even if this does not happen, then just stick to the game plan.
In cricket, the Ireland men's team secured a T20 win over Nepal in Oman earlier this afternoon, as Northwest player, rather, Andy McBrien marked his 100th international with victory. Now, despite posting a poor batting total of 127, a great bowling effort led out by McBrien got Nepal out for 111. Ireland did enough to win the game by 16 runs. McBrien took 2 wickets for 12 and 4 overs, and in the process took his international wicket tally to 99. Shane Getcat also batted for Ireland today, heading 14. The Irish, of course, start their ICC T20 World Cup qualifying campaign on Friday against the UAE. Staying with cricket, and Brigade are on the European trail this weekend. The Northwest side had 2 games today at the European Cricket League on the Costa del Sol in Spain. They lost the first game to Griffiths from Guernsey by 53 runs, but they had better luck in the afternoon in their second match, beating Indo from Bulgaria by 7 wickets. Brigade will have 2 further games to come on a Tuesday. In Rugby Ireland hooker, Ronan Kelleher will have a shoulder injury monitored this week. The Leinster front row picked up the knock in the loss to France in the Six Nations on Saturday. Ulster's Rob Herring rejoins the squad after missing the opening 2 rounds with a calf issue. In an update this afternoon, the IRFU said out-half Johnny Sexton will continue to rehab his hamstring after missing the game in Paris. And finally, in golf, Argentinian Eduardo Romero has died at the age of 67. The man, also known as El Gato, was an 8-time winner on the European Tour, including 2 European Master wins and a Scottish Open triumph in 2002. That's your sport for the moment, Michaela. The DL debate, of course, will come tonight just after the 7 o'clock news.
Thanks, Aisín. And returning to some news, a 79-year-old man who was robbed at knife point in Cork yesterday says he no longer feels safe in his home. Gerry O'Halloran and his sister Mary were held up by a male intruder shortly after 7:30 a.m. The attacker fled on foot with €1,800 in cash, while Gerry and Mary were treated at the scene for non-life-threatening injuries. Well, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConlogh is urging communities to be vigilant as Garda investigations continue into the attack, as well as other recent attacks on older people in their homes. He says such attacks are despicable.
Everybody has the right to feel safe. Any threat or any attack severely undermines that and people's sense of their own security. So I know it's something that the Gardaí and in terms of community policing are prioritising and are assessing and providing support in local communities. And also there's a real role there as well for local communities to be aware of their neighbours and to provide that sense of support too.
An orange wind warning has been issued for County Donegal this Wednesday. Storm Dudley will cross the north of the country, bringing damaging gusts of up to 130 kilometres per hour. Met Aaron's warned of high tides leading to some coastal flooding. A yellow wind warning has also been issued for Donegal, Clare Mayo and Galway from midday on Wednesday for 24 hours. And tidal surges are expected to become more common. Footage of a tidal surge at Stone Jug near Buncrana was posted on the Lochs Willie Orna Life Facebook page over the weekend. This is the second occurrence in recent times with similar incidents along the north coast. The surge was the result of 16-metre waves off the coast caused by storms in the Atlantic. John O'Raw is a science lecturer at LYIT and a volunteer with the Orna Life. He told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that these surges will be seen more often due to the effects of climate change.
From the 5th to the 10th of February, we had some extraordinarily high waves. But even on the 29th of January, we were seeing substantial waves out there. We're facing the Atlantic and we're all used to our weather during the winter. We see phenomenal conditions like this on a very regular basis.
This happens all the time, but are we seeing an increase in frequency? Are we eventually going to see one of these surges during a spring tide and maybe, you know, it could have a negative impact?
Those are all real possibilities. We all know about global warming. And for some reason, there still seems to be a little bit of debate on it. The reality is the numbers are in. Everybody has access to those numbers. If you do the research, you can actually see what's going on. The higher the temperatures are, the more energy we have in the atmosphere. So if you can imagine the North Atlantic getting a little bit warmer all the time, we're in a location where the cold Arctic air meets that warm Atlantic air. We get the jet stream forming over Ireland, and that's the conveyor belt that brings all these storms across the Atlantic. We're right in the middle of that storm motorway, and those storms come through us continuously during the winter. Roughly, we probably get about 9 times as many storms during the winter as we do during the summer. So this time of year, these are normal weather conditions. But the storms will get more energetic as time goes by. As temperatures rise, the wind speeds rise, the air can hold more water, and our storms just get more extreme.
Weather now, a bright and breezy day with sunny spells and scattered showers becoming isolated. Highest temperatures of 7 or 8 degrees. The closing headlines, the trial of a man accused of the rape and murder of Danielle McLaughlin is to be heard in a new fast-track special court. The murder of the 28-year-old from Buncrana is expected to be the first case heard in the new court, which will be operational within months. Gardaí and Donegal have issued a renewed appeal for information about the murder of Andrew Burns 14 years ago. The 27-year-old was murdered at Donnyloop Castle Finn on Tuesday, February the 12th, 2008. There's a question of faith in the process. That's according to the PRO of the MICA Action Group. It comes as it's reported that the controversial sliding scale element of the enhanced MICA redress scheme is set to be replaced by another model being proposed by the SCSI. And a memorandum of understanding has been signed by Fáilte Ireland and Uterus na Gaeltachta, which will see the two organisations work together across a number of priority areas. The newly formed strategic partnership is aimed at making the Gaeltacht experience appealing, accessible and relevant to visitors. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice says for this Monday evening, February the 14th. The death has taken place of Joseph Sweeney, Ballyliffin, Clonmany, whose remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:30, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the new cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to St Columbkill Village, care of any family member or Comiskey funeral directors. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Cathal McGlynn, Arglahan Clohan. His remains are reposing at his brother Conall McGlynn's home at Upper Brocca. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in Our Lady of Perpetual Succour Glenfinn, with interment afterwards in Kilwara Cemetery. And the death has taken place of Jinko O'Cura, Smith's House, Blanket Nook, Burt. Private cremation will take place at Lakelands Crematorium. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.